morning.
Good morning.
I've got Peggy. Are we going to chant the intro? Would you play the tone for us so we can hear it before?
Sure, right now?
Sure. And if you could do that also right before the introit. Are you going to play the Gloria Patri?
Yes. Will I?
Well, that's why I'm asking you. I didn't mention that. I know you were here the last two Sundays and heard us singing the Gloria Patri instead of chanting, right?
Okay, so you're gonna switch to the Gloria.
Not necessarily. How do you feel? You want to do that or?
Well, let's see what happens.
Okie dokie.
My hand may do something that my mind isn't aware of.
Well, we'll follow you and. Okay. See where I'm at. Okay. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life, whom shall I fear?
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. Salvation, whom shall I fear?
The Lord
is the stronghold of my life, whom shall I fear? Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy. mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, beginning at verse 4. From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson for this morning, let's join in the gradual for this morning. Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God." This is the word of the Lord.
To thee, O Christ.
Let us join together in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the life, life everlasting. Amen.
God loved the world so that
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So we all know this passage pretty well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. So this is the text for this morning. There's an interesting use of, let's say, theological phrases, perhaps, well-known for Nicodemus anyway, because Nicodemus has come to Jesus to talk to him. We didn't have that reading before today, but you know the reading. He comes to Jesus in the night, and they have the conversation that leads into that which is born of spirit is spirit, that is of water and the spirit, that which is God's people, in other words, through baptism. But the conversation goes further, and Jesus, speaking with Nicodemus, says this at the beginning of today's gospel, that Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I wanted to bring that to your attention before I look again at John 13. John 3:16, in which instead of the Son of Man be lifted up, that God sends His Son into the world. And I wanted to bring that up first because that phrase, Son of Man, is one that the people looked forward to, especially those who were probably teachers of the law, teachers of God's word, were well familiar with Daniel 7, in which Daniel has a vision when the people are in captivity. And in this vision, Daniel sees the Son of Man. And it's at the end of time, really, or the end of times. And it's recorded in Daniel 7 at verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. I'm sure you've heard other pastors mention Jesus having this as a favorite title, you'd almost say. I mean, he speaks it so often in identifying himself. And when one sees this passage, one cannot help but know when Jesus says the Son of Man, he is referring to himself. First, he refers to an incident that happened in the wilderness when the people were complaining to God because they were not happy with God's provision. Remember, at this time, God had provided for them manna from heaven that they were eating. And I could imagine you probably and I probably would get tired of eating the same thing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner day in and day out. But I tell you, if you're in the wilderness, I think you would be happy to just have the food. But they grumbled and they complained and they swore they were brought out into the wilderness to die. And so God lifted them up in prayer, not as an advocate, but as one to God that he would deliver him from these rabble rousers, these people that were constantly speaking up and stirring up the anxiety of the people. And so God sent the fiery serpents. And God's mercy was seen also in this, because God provided a means whereby the people would not die by looking at the bronze serpent on a stick, and they would live. And it says that, actually, doesn't it? It says, when they looked up at the serpent, if they were bitten, he would live. That's God's mercy. It's nothing that's done by the people. They're looking up out of faith. They look to that pole. They look to that serpent because they know that in that is God's promise of healing. Now, only a person of faith would actually look at that. Someone who actually believed that God was going to do what God said he was going to do. Jesus points to that after he identifies himself once again about being the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That gets back to Daniel. That gets back to that promise in Daniel of the one who appears as the Son of Man, one like the Son of Man. And he comes to the Ancient of Days, that is God the Father, and presented before him. And why? Because he has accomplished what God sent him to do. Now, Daniel doesn't get into that. He's just looking at this vision, and God explains it to him. But God doesn't get into that. But we do. We do, because we have seen the Son of Man, that is, the disciples have, and we have through the words of Scripture. We know him to be this. This is Jesus' title for himself. He said this of himself more than anything else, that he is the Son of Man, that the Son of Man must go to the cross and die and be raised to life. In order to bring about victory over death, to bring about life eternal, to bring about a kingdom that will be forever. And we don't have to go far in our minds to remember that God promised David that a descendant of his would sit on the throne, and that throne would be an eternal throne. So Jesus speaks this way. And so, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. See, God came for the whole world. Not to condemn it, but to save it. To save the entire world. Jews and Gentiles alike. Nations upon nations will be drawn to God, to Israel, because of Jesus. You know, it's a wonderful thing to look into at the whole world and see how much this Word of God has spread throughout every land. Now, it's not accepted in every land, but the Word is there. In those lands where there is persecution of Christians and Christianity is forbidden as a lawful religion, the church flourishes. Even though it's not an accepted nation I'm sorry, accepted religion in the Muslim world, yet there are Christians in the Muslim world. There are still Christians in China, even though China does not want their people to worship Christianity, to worship Christ. They don't want them really to worship any God, but definitely they don't want Christ worship, and yet the church flourishes. They can do all they want to destroy it, but as Daniel saw in his vision about this kingdom, that it will never be destroyed. This kingdom that we have here on earth, not the earthly kingdom, but God's kingdom, which you and I are part of, and everyone that confesses Jesus as Christ, that believes in the mercy of God carried out through Christ, that trusts God's promise that anyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. All those who have eternal life are those who confess Jesus, who believe that it is true what He has done for us. It is by the merit of Christ that we are saved, and not by our own strength or might, not by our will, but only by the will of God. Jesus is the Son of Man, but He's also the Son of God. If He were not also the Son of God, then He would be without benefit to you and me, because He would be like you and me in that He would be also a sinner. But because He is the Son of God, He's able to identify Himself with the one who will have victory. And when He speaks it here to Nicodemus, He speaks as though it has already taken place. And truly it has. What God has decided upon is being carried out in Christ. Jesus will go to the cross. He identifies that in some symbolic words of a pole and a snake that took place thousands of years before His being begotten into this world and becoming a man, the Son of Man. One could say He's like the new creation. He is the new creation. He is the new Adam. He is the son of Adam and Eve in a sense, because He is true man, but He is without sin. He carries out that which you and I are incapable of doing, so that we can share in His victory, so that we can be with everyone else that believes, drawn into His kingdom, where the doors have already been flung open and we already have one foot in that eternal home. It's almost like a salesman, I guess, putting his foot in the door so it don't get closed. But we don't need to worry about that. God will not close it. He goes on to talk about the problem of the world and the problem that He Himself has faced as the Son of Man. People love darkness rather than light because they follow the ruler of this world, the old father of lies. They follow their sinful nature rather than follow God's word and God's direction. They love darkness because in this world they get satisfaction out of it. Many of them get what they are looking for. Their treasures are in their hearts, and they are not set on the things in heaven. They are set on this world. They are set on the money that can be earned, the wealth that one might have in their lifetime. Power, if they can even get that. Many say power is an aphrodisiac because you get addicted to it and you have a desire for more and more. And history backs all that up. People do like darkness and they don't want their deeds to be revealed. Because if their deeds are revealed, even those who are of the light will know and say, this one is not a believer. We don't pity those people. We don't say one day God will show you who was right. No, we pray for them. We share the gospel with them because we too, John tells us in his gospel, we're also of this world. I should say Paul does in the Ephesians chapter. We too were part of that. It is by God's grace that we no longer walk in the way of darkness. It is by God's mercy that we have a Savior. It is God's mercy alone in which Jesus is brought into the world to carry our sins on the cross, to die and cancel out our debt. We are redeemed. We are bought with a price. We are bought so that we can be God's own children. So, we are told, whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. Even the children of darkness recognize the children of the light. And when they see the children of the light, their responses are going to be varied. Some will want to know, how can I have that light too? Others may ridicule. Others may poke fun. Others may say, oh, you're just superstitious, believing a silly story. Others will say, I want to hear more. And they know where to come because they see God's children active in the world, not following after them as often as they may say, come with us, come with us. We stand our ground. And we say, no, that is not the way of life. True life, eternal life, that comes only through following the light of this world. And that light is Jesus Christ. So we walk with the Lord who reveals this wonderful information to Nicodemus. Now, we don't hear anything more about Nicodemus. We don't hear Nicodemus walked away rejoicing and believing in his heart. We don't hear that. It just ends. The story ends. We don't know until the burial of Jesus what has become of Nicodemus. For Nicodemus goes to bury the body of Jesus, along with Joseph of Arimathea. They go to take his body down and place his body in a grave, just as Scripture had declared. I wonder what was going through Nicodemus's mind, because I'm sure he must have recalled these words of Jesus. Maybe not. But after Jesus was raised from the dead, I believe that Nicodemus would have been rejoicing and would have remembered this visit with the Lord in the darkness of night, remembering the words that Jesus spoke about looking to him for that eternal life, trusting in God's promise. And so do we. We trust in God's promise and mercy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise for the offertory as we sing it and the offerings are brought forward. Let's pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord God, in these Lenten days we pray that you would draw us into your light. Expose where we live, like your people of old have thought, spoken, and acted against you, that in repentance we might look to your Son lifted up on the cross for our salvation and be saved from your righteous wrath. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you led the saints by the straight way of faith in your Son until they reached your heavenly city. As we join in their eternal thanksgiving for your steadfast love and wondrous works to the children of men, we pray that you would faithfully lead us into your heavenly home. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you love the world by giving your only Son, that whoever believes in him might be saved. We pray that you would bless the work of your church and those called to preach your gospel. By your Spirit, create and sustain saving faith within us and all who hear your word, that we may not be condemned but saved and raised up with Christ to be seated with him in the heavenly places. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you have made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in the trespasses and sins. We pray that your Spirit would be at work within us, that we may not carry out the sinful desires of our bodies and minds, but be your workmanship in Christ Jesus, walking in the good works you have prepared for us to do in him. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have set Joseph, our president, and Greg, our governor, as authorities over us for our good. Bless and sustain them with all they need to govern us, that we might be ruled wisely and in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you are the light, our salvation. Hide in your shelter Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Roche, Robert and Donna Knopf, Wilford Defoe, and all who suffer in body, mind, or soul. Keep them in their day of trouble from falling into faithless fear, and uphold them with your peace in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, are there any announcements? You put all the chairs down? Now we'll have a little work. You got to work for your coffee this morning. You got to take the chair down off the table. Peggy?
Cheryl mentioned last week that we would be putting together the personal care kit, and I see she's not here, so we'll still do that, but we'll wait till next week to get the list if you need it. Also, I found out just this week that the in-gathering won't actually be till November, but we'll go ahead and collect these now, and then we'll have them ready to go.
Okie doke. And you were great.
It was great to be back.
Yeah, we're glad you're back.
Yeah.
We've missed you.
We got some birthdays and anniversary. Happy birthday to Toby Brzozowski and Tammy Herrera. And happy anniversary to Mark and Susan Woolley.
Oh, whoa. They want to bring a cake. All right, let's rise and join in singing Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer.